Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan political action committee whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? Through horizontal enforcement. Horizontal enforcement is how concerned citizens help grow government with our day-to-day attitudes and actions. Because no matter how much government expands, there can't always be a police officer or federal agent everywhere. That's where you come in. Start snitching. If you see something, even if it's nothing, say something. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, spout an endless stream of verbal horizontal enforcement. Tell anyone who will listen, and especially those who don't want to listen, why more government is a good thing. Do this constantly. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes, arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, and shaming anyone who's caught breaking any law or criticizing our justice system. Who needs innocent until proven guilty? If someone gets arrested, they're probably guilty. So act like they are until they are. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Because more government means more warm, fuzzy feelings for all of us. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
CATMUF is not a real political action committee. It's a fiction created for satirical expression protected by the First Amendment, which may still exist in some form despite the so-called Patriot Act. This ad was actually produced by the good people at the Freedom Fiends podcast. That's FreedomFeens.com. Yeah, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, the Iron Hamster, and over in the Appalachians, we got Appalachia Johnson. What's up, Appalachia Johnson?
How you doing, Michael?
You having a moonshine before church?
Maybe.
Did you go to church today?
I did go in today.
Who won? I'm kidding.
You know the answer to that when I'm courting us. So.
Yeah. Are you a Baptist?
Well, I'm unaffiliated.
Are you now, or have you ever been a Baptist?
I've never been a Baptist on any. I've attended a Baptist church, but
all right,
I've never been a Baptist.
Jack Johnson, what is your Freedom Fiends animal wrestling name?
The Rabid Raccoon.
I like it. So I've been called out by right-wing loons as promoting violence by voodoo through the air somehow. I didn't do that. I didn't do it at all. But there is a lunatic, and I use that word sparingly. It's an understatement. There's a guy named Cliff Kincaid who's been writing for a conservative magazine ironically called Accuracy in Media. Since the 70s, and it used to be a magazine, and then with newsletter printed updates, you know, like back when people were like, when radio shows would say, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to subscribe to our newsletter. Let me just read this retort I wrote, I think we should read his article. You want to read his article? Why don't you read his article? It's not that long. I just sent it to you.
Okay.
On the Twitters. Go ahead.
All right. John Avalon's dishonest column on the cop. Now, the article is actually titled Cop Killer Was a Pothead. And John Avalon, and here's how it starts. And this is by Cliff Kincaid, the same guy we were discussing. And it says, John Avalon's dishonest column on the cop killers in Las Vegas should be studied by journalism students as an example of how to exploit a tragedy for political purposes. It is a shame he gets on CNN as an analyst, which gives him undeserved authority and prestige, when he deliberately confuses and misleads people. According to Kincaid, in this case, he tried to blame conservatives for the murders of two policemen. His Daily Beast column carried two titles, one of them being The Bonnie and Clyde of the Ultra-Right Hate. He said, Jared and Amanda Miller killed two Metro cops while shouting, "This is a revolution," and they flung the Tea Party's favorite coiled snake Gadsden flag and a swastika on the still-warm corpses and then moved to a nearby Walmart to murder a shopper before turning the guns on themselves. The reference to the Gadsden flag as being a Tea Party favorite was an obvious effort to link the Tea Party to the murders. The flag dates back to the American Revolution and is used by various groups to protest big government. He's got that in capital letters. Miller's notion of big government was a government that was interfered with his marijuana smoking. As a simple search of stories around his background revealed a series of confrontations with law enforcement over his drug habits. Avalon wrote that Miller's Facebook pages detailed a descent into a murderous rage, railing against a tyrannical government and parroting talking points from, they call them fright wing radio hosts, such as Alex Jones and militia movement groups as the three presenters, while liking the pages of conservative activist groups ranging from the Heritage Foundation to Freedom Works to the NRA. Miller's profile picture was a skull wearing an American flag bandana against the backdrop of cross knives and the word patriot. Avalon somehow missed the numerous pro-marijuana groups on Miller's Facebook page, including he gets almost everybody. Marijuana Policy Project, Drug Policy Alliance, Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform, Marijuana Sick Fans, Legalize Weed, Outlaw Corporate Greed, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
Oh, and the Marijuana Sick is SIC, meaning the murderer, the guy who killed the cops misspelled the word of his favorite drug, marijuana.
Right. Students for Sensible Drug Policy were also included in the list of groups. Miller was a doper.
A doper. It's these dopers and immigrants. I'm telling you.
Here, I got to interject for a second. Like, Cliff Kincaid used to be respected. Now he just sounds like the crazy old guy at the end of the bar going like, "These gosh darn kids with their long hair and their rock and rolls music. It's unchristian, I tells you." Like, even Christians have thrown this guy under the bus, but not all of them. I mean, this thing was widely reblogged, this article.
Didn't you say 8,000?
Yeah, 8, thousands. Wow. 46,000 or something, or 4,600. Okay. Yeah, and he used to be, like, solid and just, you know, he was kind of like a – he kind of was a small government guy, like back in the 70s and 80s. He was like, you know, one of these, we got to get back to the Constitution and the Republic. But he wasn't loony, like afraid of young people like he is now. And, you know, the guy who shot these cops was also a loon and a violent weirdo and was also a meth head, not to blame the thing. But, you know, marijuana, you know, if you're doing meth and you're smoking marijuana, it's kind of like I don't know, eating fatty foods while, you know, playing chicken drunk on the road or something.
That was one of the things that our favorite comedian Bill Hicks pointed out. If you're drinking and smoking pot, then you're kind of losing the perspective.
Yeah.
Right. And you mean to continue on with the article?
Yes, please.
Okay, awesome. And
okay, we are, so for those tuning in, we're reading a hit piece that links my movie that I made with Nima Vadati, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, links it to the cop killer in Vegas. And so go on.
Okay. And Miller was a doper, and he was referring to Jared Miller at this point, whose anti-government philosophy stemmed from his hatred of the police for arresting him for violating the drug laws. You don't need to be a forensic scientist to figure this case out. Is there any evidence that Miller was a conservative activist or followed the philosophy of the Heritage Foundation or any conservative groups? Absolutely not.
What's going on here is, like, the Republicans are blaming the Democrats for this guy, and the Democrats are blaming the Republicans for this guy. And this conservative group, Accuracy in Media, is blaming Alex Jones and myself for this guy. I never had any contact with this guy. After the killings, I found him and found his Facebook page before it was deleted, looked at it. There's nothing about anything I did on there. It was a mismatch of things he liked. Like, it was like one from column A, one from column B, one from column X. You know, he voted for Obama. He wasn't consistently boxable in a box, you know?
So yeah, go ahead. I'll keep on going. As we said, Jared Miller's anti-government frenzy was whipped up by the extreme right-wing echo chamber, Avalon claimed. Now, getting back to what it said about the Heritage Foundation, he made a statement that Heritage Foundation opposes legalization of marijuana there. Then getting back to the article, then why do the likes on his Facebook page include so many pro-marijuana groups? Legal dope has been accepted by some libertarians, most notably at the Cato Institute, but it has been a left-wing cause for decades. Most funded by the last decade or so by hedge fund operator George Soros. Avalon stumbled into the truth without understanding its significance.
Yeah, unlike the guy writing this article who is funded by a right-wing oil billionaire, but go on.
When he wrote, Miller's anti-government rants ramped up after he served 7 days in jail for a pot-related conviction. He failed to grasp the significance of this fact, preferring instead that he blame conservatives for his violence. Avalon's CNN performance even gets worse. He said that the rhetoric he, Miller, is parroting really did echo a lot of what we hear on the right-wing talk radio, things like the Alex Jones show. Jones is not a right-wing talk show host. He is a marijuana enthusiast who promoted a – this is what Kincaid says. He is a marijuana enthusiast who promoted a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Don't know those guys. All right. We noted in the past that this combustible combination of drugs and firearms, as preached by Jones, is dangerous for our country. The liberals would prefer focus on the guns, not the drugs. Miller is a classic case of a pothead, possibly with paranoid psychotic tendencies. In a post on an Alex Jones website, Miller wrote, "I stand at a point in my life where I am on prohibition for selling marijuana. I take urine screens frequently, and I am forced to take drug classes I do not need. Before I got arrested, I had two jobs, and I was selling weed to my friends and my family on the side," according to Miller. Now I cannot find a job. He had only himself to blame.
Okay, I got to interject here. What he doesn't say, too, is that this guy went on Alex Jones's blog, on the forums, to call for violence against cops, and a bunch of Alex Jones fans shouted him down and said he was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of political agitators do that on that. It's irrelevant point. But this guy obviously isn't using any type of logic in his argument.
Yeah,
his article.
I'm not going to any of the, you know, there are theories that like this whole thing was a false flag or something like that. I'm not going there. I'm taking it at face value, at least in the context of Kincaid's article. So go ahead, please.
He had only himself to blame, referring to Miller.
Yeah, only himself to blame. Are you there, sir? Have we lost you? Have we lost you? I will pick it up where you left off. Let's see. Significance of this fact, preferring instead to blame. Let's see. He had only himself to blame. Miller wrote a post. Mark one up for freedom today. I stood before a fascist judge and implied that he was a Nazi. I told him I did not recognize his authority over me, and reminded him that two states have now legalized weed for recreational use. I also informed him that now, since the Fast and Furious scandal, this is the way to make a judge go in your favor. Since the Fast and Furious scandal, the continuing war on drugs is treason. He said to me, "I may not agree with the law, but it is my duty to enforce it." Of course, the judge said that. To which I replied, "Nazis during the war criminal trials stated that they were just following orders and enforcing the law, and we hung those people." See, the guy's a collectivist. He said we. This guy who killed the cops, he is a collectivist. And, you know, his cop killing was collectivist, too. He had a beef with some cops, so he killed some other cops. That is collectivism. That is classic left behavior. Let's see. So I'm not going to go on and on and on and on with this guy's article. We'll have more when we come back. But you get the gist of it. You know, he's blaming guns and weed the road to freedom, partially for these cops being killed. I made Guns and Weed the Road to Freedom. I did not and will not kill any cops. All right, here we go.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Have you ever wanted to move to the land of LibPair? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is LibPair in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Jack Johnson, I believe, has been droned, figuratively or just electronically or literally. He is gone, can't get him back. Don't know what's up. If there's any Freedom Fiends co-hosts, any of our gang of co-hosts listening, Skype in. If any of the people I told to Skype in the second hour are on, Skype in. And I'm going to continue by reading my reply to Cliff Kincaid of the site Accuracy in Media, who has wrongly linked my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, with the cop killers in Vegas. Here's my reply, and this is on the Freedom Fiends blog at freedomfiends.com, freedom, foxtrot, echo, echo, November, Sierra.com, slash blog. Conservative tries to link Las Vegas cop shootings to Freedom Fiends film Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And I would like it if people would share this far and wide, because what the guy said isn't true. And I would like my reply and rebuttal out there, because I don't like being associated with loons. So let's see. Who's writing me? Lysander Fien. Lysander Fien will be here in a minute. That is good. I am happy. Okay. Here's my article. Well-known and long-running cranky old loon Cliff Kincaid tried to connect the Freedom Fiends film Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom with the recent cop killings in Las Vegas. In a June 11th, 2014 article entitled Cop Killer Was a Pothead on the ironically named website Accuracy in Media, Kincaid states, and we just read some of this, so, you know, I'll just read the part. Let's see. The guy did a lot to echo things like we hear on right-wing talk radio, like the Alex Jones Show. Kincaid says, Alex Jones is not a right-wing radio talk radio host. He's a marijuana enthusiast who promoted a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. We noted in the past that this combustible combination of drugs and firearms, as preached by Jones, is dangerous for our country. And I reply, the inaccurate story on Accuracy in Media was reprinted on over 4,600 websites, but it's a tertiary connection at best. If Alex Jones likes a movie and someone likes Alex Jones, by the transitive properties of fill in the blank, the movie inspired someone to violence. I don't smoke pot. I'll have 20 years clean and sober July 7th this year. I don't promote pot. Alex Jones doesn't promote pot. He quit in high school saying he made it paranoid. And it made him paranoid. There's a link to where he said that in Rolling Stone magazine. He said, it made me paranoid. Alex Jones doesn't promote pot either. What we both promote is the end of a war on drugs that promotes a war on liberty in far-reaching areas well beyond Fiend drugs.
Phone. Ah, that's Fiend Ben phone. Stone. Fiend
Let's
phone.
Get Ben Stone on there. You there, Ben Stone?
I am.
Excellent.
I am.
Yep, and I'm going to finish reading this article. Can you stick around for a few segments, or what's up?
I'm here as long as you need me.
Thank you, brother man. I like how the Fiend Gang just steps up. When there's a problem, we help mend each other's fences, the holes in our fences, before things get out, before things fall apart. All right, so Alex Jones doesn't promote pot either. What we both promote is an end to the war on drugs that promotes a war on liberty in far-reaching areas well beyond drugs and does exponentially more damage than drugs. See this recent ABC News piece, Baby in Coma After Police Grenade Dropped in Crib During Drug Raid, for one of literally millions of examples. And note the drug cops blaming the parents. Articles were written about Cliff Kincaid's allegations on the very popular left-wing sites The Raw Story and Conservative Watch. I've linked both of them. Both of those articles mentioned Kincaid's linking of the Vegas cop killings with my documentary film. Media producers cannot control who consumes our output. If the Vegas cop killers even ever did see Guns and Weed, I'm not sure they did. Hell, the only book found in the Unabomber's shack was the extreme environmentalist screed Earth in the Balance by Al Gore. That book proposes proposes carbon taxes and a government takeover of pretty much everything. Well, maybe that connection does make sense. People are responsible for their own actions. No film, heavy metal song, or video game ever made anyone do anything. Conservatives present themselves as the opposite of liberals in every way. They're not. Both want the government guns to be pointed at everyone, just in slightly different areas of our lives. And both seem to love to blame the thing, not the person, which is antithetical to true liberty and personal responsibility. Cliff Kincaid and the 4,600 sites that reblogged his article, blaming murders on my movie, is as crazy as liberals wanting to outlaw guns, supersized sodas, and Bitcoin. A lot of conservatives flipped out when Obama said people aren't smart enough to govern themselves, but conservative firebrand Cliff Kincaid blaming deaths on a movie is the same thing. Ditto for the thousands of conservatives who reblog him. Be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
What sets survival punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance, applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com. You know, it takes a village to replace Nima Vidati, but I think we've done it. The cool thing about having a gang, and I'm not talking about like a violent gang, I'm talking about a peace-loving group of friends who carry guns. There's 11 co-hosts on the Freedom Fiends, other than myself. I'm the host. There's 11 rotating on a spit co-hosts that we have. And you know, like you lose one of the co-hosts and two just pop up on Skype. So we've got Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Are you there, Ben?
I'm here. We're like a hydra. You hack off one head and three more pop up.
Yeah, I wanted to get to the point where, you know, this show could go on after I'm droned. And I think this is a good test today. Like, after I'm physically murdered or, you know, if I'm thrown in prison for free speech or anything. So what is your wrestling name there, your Fiend's animal wrestling name, Ben?
Oh, wow. Let's see. The bearded porcupine.
The bearded porcupine. yeah. And Lucy.
No. Not porcupine. I'm sorry. The bearded. What are those things?
Okay. Marsupial. Going on. He'll come up with it. Ben hasn't taken his memory pills yet. Gotta take my memory pills. And it is. Oh, it is afternoon there now, too. So it's 1:35. So you're starting to fade there. Okay. So yeah. Lucander Fiend, how you doing?
Yo, 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 titanium meerkat in the house.
Yeah, Ben doesn't even know what he is.
I forget.
Bearded possum. There you go.
Bearded possum. Yep. So Ben's on a $9 headset, but hopefully this will work out. And I was finishing up this article, for those of you who are just joining us, I was finishing up this article on the Freedom Fiends blog, which is my response to a hit piece on a well-known conservative website called Accuracy in Media, which has been going since the 70s. It was a print newsletter. And this crazy old loon, Cliff Kincaid, tried to tie my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom to the shooters in Vegas. I don't like that word, shooters. To the people in Vegas who shot and killed police. The couple, the really weird couple who, yeah. I don't even know what to make of them, man. Okay, so let me finish this article. Cliff Kincaid has gone after my film before, trying to blame it and Porkfest for the collapse of the Western civilization in his 2012 piece, Drugs, Guns, and Madness in the Ron Paul Revolution. And that pack of lies has been reblogged 8,620 times. And I have links for all this stuff in here. For what it's worth, Cliff Kincaid is funded by Mellon oil billionaire heir Richard Mellon Scaffey, S-C-A-I-F-E, Safey, I don't know. Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom will be showing at Porkfest on Thursday, June 26th at 9 p.m. I'll be doing a Q&A after and selling copies cheap. You can watch the trailer and download a free torrent of the film here. Now, see, the thing is, I'm not going, oh, this guy said horrible things and called me a terrorist. I'm going to make money off it. It's like, I'm just trying to spread truth. And he spread so many lies. Not that I'm against money, but I want to make it clear. I'm not trying to make a, you know, just, oh, I'll make money off this. I'm giving the movie away as well as selling it. You know, I have a link where you can get a torrent link of it and download a perfect copy of the DVD and burn a DVD of it with all the menus and everything. High, perfect resolution, all that. So, yeah, this guy's a loon. And what say you, Lou?
I think that the headline should read, "Conservatives merge with the Soviet Policy Lie Center. Everything is now hate."
Well, I've joked that I'm envious that people I know are on the SPLC hit list, and I'm not. And someday, God willing, I will be. But I don't know, man. Like, getting this taste of, like, somebody linking me with a murderer, I don't really love it, man. And I know that there's, like, people who've been – so go on. Ben, what you got?
Well, I think the funny thing about it to me is – that the guy making this claim is making a collectivist statement. He is being a collectivist, and he is acting as a collectivist when he makes this kind of ridiculously stupid statements. And, you know, typically people who consider themselves right-wing or conservative or Republican, they're against collectivists, at least in their words. But then you get to see a real insight into these people, and they are pure collectivists. They are.
Wait, are you absolutely right. Are you collectivizing the collectivists, Ben?
I am. That's what I just did.
I think if the shoe if the shoe fits all the feets, you know, and I don't want to collectivize all of them, but you're right. I'll just collectivize some of them. You know, there's a lot of the thing I pointed out, like a lot of conservatives flipped out when Obama said people aren't smart enough to govern themselves. But you hear a lot of rhetoric, like on Fox News and some conservative radio, of stuff that's very much like, we must do this. Our nation depends on this. We must keep drugs illegal because blah, blah, blah. You know, the thing is, like, even old school, like, there are still tons of people clinging to, we must keep drugs illegal to protect the children. But even like Pat Robertson, the really old school conservative Christian, you know, like prayer partner of Ronald Reagan, that guy's in favor of ending the war on drugs. It's kind of mind blowing that people are still clinging to it to me.
Plus, it's kind of the argument that, you know, that you might hear some really old person in 1967 try to say, that's what's wrong with all the world today is the pot users. And it's nothing to do with that. If someone who's psychotic enough to kill another human being, just walk up to them and kill them, they have far greater problems than whether or not they use a recreational drug or not.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's an argument to be made that if pot were legal, that guy wouldn't have felt a need to shoot cops. He was not good to do so, but. You know, it's Mama Liberty said it really well. She's in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. She's the mid-60s, 60-something grandmother who's never smoked pot in the Guns and Weed movie, who is carrying a gun into her bank in the movie. Good friend of mine from Wyoming. And she said it really well one time. She said, if they don't want civil disturbances, they should stop disturbing us.
Going back to the morality of collectivist judgments like that, and correct me if I'm wrong, did Adam Kukesh say that there was nothing morally wrong with it? It was just of killing a cop like that because cops are killers, and that it was only bad in a tactical sense, so that it's not smart. Am I quoting Kukesh correctly in that?
I watched that video. I don't want to say, I mean, you may be paraphrasing him, and he also got attacked for saying that on the same left-wing website, The Raw Story, that retold these lies that Cliff Kincaid told about me. Yeah, I don't want to speak for him.
But if you blame all cops for what some cops have done, and I realize, you know, I think all of us agree that police in America are a twisted thing that doesn't need to exist. But there are cops who have killed people, and there are cops who have not. And the cops who have not killed people are not guilty of murder and cannot be rightfully targeted for that. If there was a specific cop that committed a specific crime, then we're talking about a different thing. But it's immoral to blame all cops for killing and therefore take judgment upon someone who has never actually committed that crime.
I didn't even want to get into this whole discussion. You know, lately I've been just like, issues are so square, man. I don't want to talk about issues. I want to talk about Gigi Allen. But I guess Cliff Kincaid dragged me kicking and screaming into it. Got any other angles on this thing, you guys? Other than the let's continue the discussion everyone else is having, which I don't like that discussion because it tends to try to get people to say, how do you feel about this as a libertarian? And it kind of reminds me of like, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? And if like, if the discussion, if it's not being poked in certain directions by government agents, it's at least very useful to government agents when they're compiling their lists of who says what.
Bingo. I agree.
Shows is that the conservative wing of the socialist state socialism mentality. If you remember when Ice-T's band Body Count came out back in the early 90s and they had that album and you had
that song Cop Killer. Is a song called Cop Killer.
Yeah. Who was the head of the NRA? Moses?
Yeah.
Yeah, the staunch supporter of the Second Amendment wanted to suspend the First Amendment because he thought that it was bad. And realistically, to say that guns and weed, the road to freedom, caused this guy to go off on a nut is like saying that watching Wile E. Coyote forced me to strap a rocket to my back and go flying around chasing a little bird.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So the conservative wing of the socialist thing,
This is a word that doesn't really translate to speaking as well as writing. It's censor and conservative.
Yeah,
is that what you're
conservative.
Saying? Conservative wing of the, okay, go ahead.
Of the state socialist apparatus.
Apparatchik. They just need
to, yeah. Well, the apparatchik, I believe, is the individuals, and the apparatus is the machine. But anyway, they all need to just shut the Feinstein up.
You know, I have a personal connection. I was personally affected by the fallout of Ice-T's band Body Count song, Cop Killer. I was on Warner Brothers at the time. My band had just been signed. My band, Bomb. It's just like, I'm just picturing people listening to this, like looking for like, wait, this guy says he's not violent, but he was in a band called Bomb. I was in a band called Bomb that was signed to Warner Brothers in 1990-91. And Body Count's Cop Killer song had just come out. Well, it came out about a month before, but a week before our record dropped, the whole controversy happened. Like the FBI were contacting Warner Brothers. The NRA was boycotting, you know, they were basically like saying, yeah, let's suspend the First Amendment because we love the Second Amendment. And it affected negatively my band being pushed by Warner Brothers. There's other reasons too, but it's like Warner Brothers was getting Bomb threats and they were about to put out a record by a band called Bomb. And Ice-T killed my music career, basically, is what I'm saying. Nah, he helped just a little bit. He didn't help the right wing reaction to him and the cop industrial complex reaction.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
This is Michael Dean, speaking the truth to authority, which is a dangerous thing to do. This is the Freedom Fiends. If you're just tuning in, we are responding to Cliff Kincaid from Accuracy in Media, a right-wing conservative blog that goes back to the 70s. It was a newsletter. To him trying to link my documentary film, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, to the shootings of those cops in Vegas. And you can go to freedomfiends.com/blog to read that. You can also go to gunsandweed.com to see the trailer of the movie, buy it on Amazon, or download a free torrent if you know how to be torrenting. Here's the thing, Cliff Kincaid and conservatives who love the war on drugs and left-wingers who love the war on drugs, they seem to love it too. First of all, tactically, it's an error. It is the war on drugs leads to the war on guns. You know, if they have a militarized police force with the weapons of foreign war in your neighborhood, basically violating the Third Amendment of the Constitution. They are basically quartering soldiers, not in your home, but in your neighborhood at your expense, which is basically, you know, they're in your home. They're just annexed next door. You know, they're in the outbuilding, the outhouse that you're paying for that's nicer than your house.
And for any excuse, they're in your home.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and they have MRAPs that have extender pods that can stick a hole through your wall and inject gas to drive you out. And they, throw flashbang grenades in windows and they land in babies' cribs and put babies into comas. And people are murdered all day long. And a lot of times, you know, some half-cocked secretary typing up a warrant who's dyslexic and or just trying to get to her coffee break or tweeting while she, you know, tweeting with one hand and typing with the other, trying to, type up a warrant, transposes two numbers. And then, you know, the cops end up blowing up your house, your non-drug-owning, constitution-loving, good American tax-paying house. That happens all the time. So the war on drugs leads to Obamacare. It leads to gun confiscation. It leads to what's that thing they're doing in school? Common Core. It leads to basically everything you hate that Obama's doing is your fault because you've been voting for loons going back to Nixon who are into taking away rights in one area that people who are scared easily say, well, good, we got to protect ourselves against the hippies with their pots. The other thing is, it's absolutely immoral. If you're a Christian, there's nothing Christian about aggressing on your neighbor through voting, doing it third party. It's also really expensive. You're paying for it. You know, everybody who says, "Oh, I think we need to go arrest those drug users." Would you feel that way if every month they brought you a bill for your share of it instead of hiding it in taxes and inflation of the dollar? No, you wouldn't. The final thing is, if you love the Constitution, there's nothing in the Constitution to allow the war on drugs, and there's a lot to prevent it. I mean, basically, you know, the amendments about search and seizure, private property, due process, all of that stuff, there's no reason that they should be allowed to kick in doors for people that aren't hurting anybody. And if you look at the body of the Constitution, you know, before the amendments, what's the thing that they like that people always like?
The welfare clause.
Yeah, the general welfare clause. If that's the only thing in the Constitution that you could say, well, I mean, that's the thing in the Constitution that allows the government to do whatever they want. But if you like that thing, that's what Nancy Pelosi said was the constitutional basis for Obamacare. You know, so
or necessary and proper.
Yeah, yeah. So you need to be consistent. You can't use your Constitution on one thing and not use it on another thing. people should look for consistency in their life and in what they're doing to their neighbors through their politics. And if you really are consistent, you get to a more and more narrow road till you get to the point of like, we can't have leaders, man. It's immoral. They can't be trusted. They just want to steal. They just want to take your guns. They just want to take your money. They just want to take everything from you. So be more responsible for yourself. Don't outsource violence. Don't commit violence.
Don't point government at other people.
Yeah. I mean, what baby would Jesus throw a flashbang grenade at? None.
Good one.
None, man.
That's a good one.
All right. We'll be back for hour two with some podcasting tips on the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair or Libertarian Paradise and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, the Iron Hamster. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster on the Freedom Fiends, doing some weightlifting. Just picked up my very plump cat, Charlie, who's 16 years old, and carried her into the other room because she was on my bed snoring so loudly the mic was picking it up. But that's been taken care of. We've dealt with some of our web issues, our internet connectivity, our internet's issues, and we are playing rotating co-hosts on a spit here today. I think we're going to have, after this half hour, we're going to have Lusander and Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson will be back and with Lusander, and then Ben Stone will be going away. But right now we got Ben Stone and Bernie calling from the UK. How are you, Bernie?
I'm good, Michael. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me, mate.
You sound quite distinguished. You look quite distinguished, too. I'm looking at your picture of you, your profile picture of you smoking a pipe on your Skype icon, and next to Ben's profile picture of these distinguished gentlemen. I kind of feel like in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise, these two pictures would be on money. That's how they look to me. So you run a photography website, which is stunning. I guess I'd have to give an age restriction on it. It's totally not porn, but it's kind of pinup photography style. It's imageconjurer.com, correctly? Correct?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imageconjurer.com. And if people want to contact you, they can do it from there. We're also going to give out your other website that you're just starting out, which is llpt.co.uk. That's Lima Peru Tango.co.uk, which is going to the blog for your, it's a blog. There's a, hi, you know, I'm here, like first post, but it's not a podcast yet, but it's going to be a podcast called Life, Liberty, and Property. nice takeoff on the, who is that guy who helped forge law?
Who helped what?
What? Who's the quote from? Life, Liberty, and Property. Life. Who's the author?
Oh, this was, I think it's...
DJ?
I think it's Locke, isn't it?
Yeah, John Locke. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. And Boston Tea Party once said, of you Brits...
Yeah.
when the Redcoats started firing on the the Americans at Lexington and Concord, the Americans didn't stand, well, the Patriots, he calls them, the Patriots didn't stand there quoting John Locke at them. They shot them, and they shot them well.
Yeah.
Yep, John Locke. So it's a great name for a show, Life, Liberty, and Proper Tea. It's not property, it's proper tea, like tea time, because you are a proper, distinguished British gentleman who smokes
it's
a pipe.
I'm an English. I don't like British. Okay. Not that any of those are any better than any other, but I've always considered myself English.
Because you don't want to be confused with us drunken Welshmen.
Yeah, or Scots or Irish. You're Irish too, aren't you?
I'm Irish and Welsh. Yep, a little bit too. So,
yeah.
Tell me about your podcast, what you have planned for it. What's your format going to be? And then you have some questions. We're going to have a teaching hospital segment on improving audio and doing a podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So, So I've been wanting to do a podcast or radio show type thing for at least the last 3 years.
What's your history with Liberty?
Okay, well, I go back to about 2001. About 2001 was the first time I'd ever heard the word libertarian. There's a whole story there, but that's just another thing. I mean, it basically came about through ever-increasing encroachments on smoking and the tobacco industry and stuff like that. And I got into studying what that was all about, and as a result of that, came across libertarian and came across various people and websites. The Mises Institute, for instance. I've been studying economics for several years. I've been studying political philosophy for several years. And
at some point, you discovered the Freedom Fiends. How did it happen that you discovered the Freedom Fiends?
I can
hear
what we were saying 5 minutes ago, it seems, and it's a bit weird.
Hmm. Do you want to hang up and call back in? Would that help you?
Is that what I need to do?
Yeah, if you're hearing like many seconds ago, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. And people, that is audio tip number one. If you have problems with Skype, you reboot it or you call the person back.
So, I'm hearing you right now perfectly.
Yeah? And you're hearing...
Yeah, as you're speaking there. But I'm also hearing like what we were showing, what we were saying about a minute ago.
Huh.
At the same time.
I don't know what to say other than if you want to reboot. We're on live radio here. Make a choice. Make a decision.
Okay, I'll call you back.
Okay, thanks. Yep, so people, that is podcast tip number one. Skype is not perfect, but it is free and everyone's got it. There are other ways to do voice over internet protocol. Most of them cost money. There's another thing called Mumble, which doesn't cost any money, which is said to have higher quality sound. But that's kind of a while ago, and it's kind of gotten better. Although Skype, I think, has gotten worse for me lately, but I blame the government. I think it's the NSA pushing buttons somewhere or something like that. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, that's a typical answer, though, for pretty much anything, whether it's a cell phone or Skype or anything else. You start getting a lot of feedback or you start getting a delay. Just hang up and reconnect the conversation, and a lot of times that'll do it. Or, like you said, reboot Skype completely. Close it, you know, right click on it, close it completely, and then let it close and then reopen it. And oftentimes that'll solve the problem.
Yeah. And I think we're spoiled too. I mean, people, when things don't work instantly, but you think about it. I mean, when I was a kid, you couldn't do this. Calling England on the phone cost $10 a minute in, you know, 1974 dollars, which would be like $25 a minute now.
I'm back.
And you're back?
Hey,
Bernie.
Hey. Back.
Yeah. So are you still having the same problem?
No, I'm not. And I figured out what it was. I was listening to LRN.fm on the live feed on the internet. So
okay,
that's
tip number two. People, when you call in a radio show, turn down your radio or computer stream. That's the first thing they usually say when people call in. Oh, please turn down your radio before, you know, the call screener usually does that. But we don't really take calls. I planned this with you last week. So you got a solid background in history and economics, and you have and libertarianism. You have a great voice. Your Skype connection is okay, but it's not really doing it justice. You sent me some MP3s, and you're not going to be doing a live show. You're going to be doing you're going to be doing a podcast, so it'll sound stellar. You sent me some. I mean, it sounded like this is the BBC talking about butterflies throughout the ages. I mean, it just sounded stunning and really like in your face. So what are your questions? What is your format going to be? You've thought of some different formats. What have you settled on to start with?
Well, I got two. I got two possibilities, and there's one that I favour more than the other. The two are: the first one is to do something similar to what you're doing with the Fiends, with the rotating hosts.
And you said you didn't like that idea because someone's already doing it, but it's a brand new thing. I mean, there are like, you know, some video YouTube things where people go over Skype hangouts and talk with headsets and sound horrible. And it, you know, you watch them and it's about as interesting as watching someone check their email. Yeah, that's not this, but actually doing
well, the way you're doing it is amazing. And the hosts you have are fantastic.
Thank
and
you.
You have a great rapport and the thing really, really works. I think to get it to that stage is going to take a bit of work. It's not going to be an instant sort of thing, right?
It was kind of, you know, I've kind of amassed this. A lot of it was people who've called in back when we took calls. And that's one reason I don't take calls anymore. Is like, I don't need to. I have 11 co-hosts. So I have a gang. You know, it takes a village to replace Nima Vidati. So you could do that. And I think it's a model that could work with radio. It's a lot of cat herding. It's a lot of, you know, calling people up saying, hey, are you available? You know, like booking it in advance, people canceling an hour before a show, all sorts of things like that. You know, it's almost more work. I don't know. It there's trade-offs of having one co-host or not. The thing is, with one co-host, it's kind of like being in a band. You're married to the person, like literally to the point where, you know, I thought this was ended. When Nima told me he was going to quit, I was like, you just killed what I've worked on 80 hours a week for the past 3 years. And then I immediately, like before the phone call is even over, realized, hey, you know, he was out on paternity leave for 2 weeks and for 2 months. And for that 2 months of Sundays, we had, you know, five or six people fill in for him and they were pretty darn good and getting better each time. And I just called all those people up and said, hey, let's do this. And, you know, instantly, like seamlessly, it just transferred from Nima and I to myself and 11 different co-hosts, and you know, they're all good and they're all getting much better and getting more of a rapport with me. And that's a thing that you do build with people. So I think you could have two formats for the show. I think it could be, that could be one of them. And then, and you are doing kind of an open call for collaborators. If people want to write you and maybe send you audio, they can go to your site, imageconjurer.com, or your site, llpt.co.uk. And we probably won't have enough time to get into a lot of stuff. We're going to do to the end of this half hour with you. But I will say this. Bernie is really, really, really funny. And if I wasn't doing this other show with all these other people and didn't know these other people, I'd be doing a show with Bernie. And that is not something I say lightly.
Wow.
So,
thank you, man.
If there's
thanks
any,
very much.
Yeah, man. If there's any smart people out there, funny people out there, people with good voices, people that want to do Liberty stuff, with a kindly older British gentleman with a wonderful voice and a wonderful mind, they should contact him at llpt.co.uk. So what's your second possibility? And I think you should do both, but go ahead for it.
Yeah, I think probably both. So the second one was going to be a lot of kind of sketches, skits and sketches, things like that. Like ads for various different state departments.
State departments, yeah.
Yeah, when I say state departments, it means something a bit different here than it does in the US. Your state department is basically your Department of War, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah, yeah. I think it used to be called the Department of War.
Yeah, why on earth it's called the State Department is a bit strange.
Well, it's the 1984ing of language to reference one of your countrymen.
So we have a Department of Defense and various things like that.
And it's spelled with an S. With an S.
That's right, yeah. So I was thinking, you know, we could have a Department of Life Enhancement, for instance, which basically squirts out any signs of life it can detect. And that would probably run the secret police, I think, something like that. So it'd be a recruitment ad for the secret police.
So it'd be a sketch show. You would have sketches. Like, you know, some shows would be an hour-long discussion with you and someone else, and some would be a one-minute fake ad.
Yeah.
For, you know, the National Health coming over and cutting your meat for you because you're not allowed to have knives.
Yeah, exactly.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed,
Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. Hovering over Recluse, Wyoming in Airworm 1, my private blimp. I think I'm going to call this episode Clusterfark at 30,000 feet because it's been so logistically challenging, which is pretty amazing we're pulling it off because I slept about 4 hours last night. I was just furious about this Cliff Kincaid accusing me of a connection to the Las Vegas shooters and discovered it when I was about to go to bed at about four and then just spent 2 hours writing this reply and posting it places and fuming about it and thinking about it and choosing my words carefully. It angered up my blood. But now it's all good because I win. There's no such thing as bad press, even if it gets you droned. I don't know about that. But so we have Bernie from imageconjurer.com. That's where you can connect him. A fine British mind and voice who's going to be doing a podcast. And what's your next question there about podcasting, Bernie?
Can I ask this of both of you, you and Ben?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, because both of you happen to be major inspirations for me. I've been listening to both your shows consistently every week for at least the last year.
Shucks.
And yeah. So like in your early days getting going, how you figured out how to do, I mean, Michael, you were doing it with Nima, but and Ben was doing it with his daughter. But Ben went solo, which is kind of interesting, and Michael didn't. And I found that when I've been practicing and trying to put a show together, I mean, I can talk and I can talk for quite a long time, but I play it back and it just sounds so boring to me. Okay, so how do you find out what works, what's going to sound good to other people, not just something that makes sense to you, if you know what
well,
I'm asking?
Ben doesn't do solo stuff live. There's a huge difference between doing a podcast, having a bunch of notes for it, doing multiple takes of things, editing out the bad takes, which is how Ben, that's how you did a lot of your solo teaching cast, right, Ben?
Correct. Yeah, I would, I wouldn't call it scripting, but a very note heavy.
You had an outline.
I had an outline and I always made sure that my outline had a beginning, a middle and an end. It has to recap the beginning and finish. A problem is stated in the beginning and then the middle works it out. And then the end, you have to fix that problem, so to speak.
Right. So there's a hook there format, and
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it is an astonishing difference, even with a co-host doing a pre-recorded podcast and doing live radio. Nima and I did a pre-recorded podcast. I've been podcasting since 2006 with my wife. I started on a few different podcasts. And Nima and I started the Freedom Fiends podcast in 2011. And originally it was a once-a-week podcast. It started out, and I recommend this as a possibility if it makes sense to you. It started out as a like 15-minute thing, and then it grew to 30, and then it grew to like an hour, and then it grew to like an hour and a half, and then it grew to like an hour and 40 minutes. No set length, not being interrupted by a show clock, by automated commercials, just us talking. We were not in the same room. We made the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, in the same room, but then he moved to Texas, and We just figured out the best ways to do it live and sound okay. And my blog, creamyradioaudio.com, has a lot of tips on how to do that. And I should write an updated blog post on how I podcast now and how I do radio now, like from everything I've learned. Because when you go through creamyradioaudio.com, there's like years of, well, this is what I was doing at this time and this is what I was doing then. And like, I finally got to the point of like, this is what I do, and this is the best thing to do, and this is what I'd recommend to everybody. And people are writing me more and more now saying, what do I do? And I have like 50 saved emails of snippets that I could work into a post.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I cannot do live solo. Some people can. Rush Limbaugh does. Hannity does. But those guys have like another voice in their head they're talking to, I think. I think there's voices in their head, and they're talking to them. I can't do live radio without another person there. It doesn't matter who it is. It's better if it's someone good, like all the Fiends co-hosts. But like you noticed when I lost Jack Johnson at the beginning of the show, I was lost, man. I was scrambling. I was trying to get somebody, and I couldn't. And it was like, I just, fortunately, I had an article I'd written to read. If I didn't have that, I would have been lost. I would have like called my wife in here and got her on another mic. I have to have someone to bounce off of, and I recommend trying that as a way to go.
Can I just say, there's something else that you're doing that I don't even know if you're aware of having gotten there. Well, you probably are.
What is it?
But it's just like, it's the rapport, just how strong and...
I'm a talker, man. I've always been a talker. Ever since I was like five years old, like, people be like, hey, man,
when
talk.
When you're talking to someone else and they're getting it and you're bouncing back and forth, and it's
the most powerful human community. Blah, blah, blah. I'll say it when I get back.
Yeah, exactly.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. Nobody.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, talking with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, also known as the Furry Possum. Is it the Furry Possum?
Bearded Possum.
I like Furry Possum. Can we change it to that?
If you like. It's your show, Mike.
I'll just sit at Porkfest in my throne giving out names to people because I am a benevolent libertarian dictator of the world. And we got Jack Johnson. What is he? The drunken moonshine raccoon? No, what are you?
The rabbit raccoon.
I like that. And over in England, he should be a hedgehog. I think that's a very British thing. What do we got there? Bernie,
what's... Holy hedgehog.
The holy hedgehog.
The holy hedgehog.
Okay, the holy hedgehog. I like that. All right, so we got Jack Johnson back. He got droned. What happened briefly, Jack, that you think might be the government that's never happened before?
I had a device go completely unrecognized during the show, like it uninstalled, and I've never had that happen before. It was the Wi-Fi adapter.
Man, I blame the government. I do. Even if it's not them, I blame the government. So, Bernie, we were discussing ideas for podcasting. One suggestion I have, Bernie, is with naming your podcast, don't have anything that has the word weekly or daily in it. Because or at night or after dark, because then seriously, like, you know, people start podcasts, they call them, you know, the proper tea podcast, daily podcast or whatever. It's like that commits you the rest of your life to do it. And you will end up pod fading because you're, you know, you want to do them when you want to do them until you're ready for live radio, which is like, you know, we started out 2 days a week and now I'm doing six shows a week. And I'm doing swing shift. I'm the only show in the country that does that. I'm nighttime during the week and daytime during the weekend. I'm basically like half asleep and half awake. You know, it's like that line in Fight Club. When you have insomnia, you're never really awake and you're never really asleep. Although I don't have insomnia. I sleep pretty well. But except when right wingers try to lob grenades of lies at me and make me look like I'm connected to murderers, which I'm not. All right. So that's my other. And the show, the Nighttime Fiend show for 2 months was called Freedom Fiend, Michael Dean After Dark. There was actually a radio station that said they'd take it delayed during the day, but they wouldn't because it said after dark and it would be too weird. Really? So yeah, pick a name that you can live with that's not going to confine you to a certain amount of output. So what's your next question, sir?
God, you've got me now. I want to chase you up on this rapport thing that we were talking about before the break.
Hang on a sec. I think Ben had a comment.
Oh, okay.
I heard it. That's part of my rapport is I hear that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to mention one of the things that Bernie had talked about doing was having sort of a sketch thing, a sketch comedy type routine. And I thought that would be, especially coming from someone in England, that would be sort of like an updated Monty Python podcast.
You know, I was watching last night. I haven't seen this in years, but I watched that Monty Python skit from the Holy Grail, where King Arthur and his charges are going through the field, and they find these peasants digging mud with a stick. And they're like, hello, I am Arthur, King of the Britons. And they're like, King of the who? King of the Britons. Who are the Britons? We all are. I didn't vote for you. You don't vote for a king. I was given Excalibur by the Lady of the Lake. And he's like, watery bints distributing scimitars is no basis for the form of a government. We're an autonomous anarcho-syndicalist collective. And he just goes into this whole rant about being oppressed by the man. It's great. It's beautiful. And I picture something like that, but like an ANCAP version of it instead of an anarcho-syndicalist version of it.
Well, it's amazing how good those guys were and how anarchic they actually were. I mean, I saw them on TV when they first came out. I mean, you know, late 60s, early 70s. I watched them as they came out. And I mean, I thought they were really funny. I loved them at the time, but I didn't really understand the sort of the levels to the jokes, if you know what I mean. I mean, there's a great John Cleese one where he does the Ministry of Silly Walks.
Yeah. He has a lot of government agency ones. They and you know, you got to remember too, like they were coming, they started on BBC in the early 70s. Oh, yeah. Like I saw an interview with them where Eric Idle said, like, you know, they were like BBC people were just like, who are these freaks, man? He said, like, the BBC was so square back then, as he put it, people wore suits and ties to go on the radio.
It's true. It's totally true. It's totally true.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a suit and tie right now.
No, you aren't.
Well, maybe not.
You're wearing your birthday suit and sitting in a mud pile drinking a Foster's, aren't you, Ben?
Oh, did I leave the video on?
Yeah. Yeah, the Freedom Fiends have some little sketch comedy stuff, like, you know, the Cat Muff, the Citizens Against Too Much Freedom ad. You know, they're totally sarcastic. It's calling for more government, but it's obvious that it's a joke. And, you know, here's a tip. If you make stuff that's 30 seconds long, Free Talk Live or LRN, Ian Freeman, will likely throw it in the rotation on the LRN feed. He has spaces in there for stuff he really likes. And I think he'd really like your stuff if it's what I think it's going to be.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I sent you a sample of an ad, right? You remember that one?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you make.
And that was exactly 30 seconds. It didn't just turn out to be 30 seconds. I decided it was going
to
be.
It's tough to make stuff radio 30 or 60. I mean, it's like, you know, because I generally write stuff and it ends up being 34 seconds and I have to cut something or time compress it. And when you time compress it in software, it ends up sounding kind of comical unintentionally.
Yeah.
But it can be done, man. It's a great challenge doing stuff for. And if you make some 30 second ads that I dig, I'll throw them in for sure.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
No, I worked in advertising for a bit in the 80s.
Ah, good.
It's it was a lot of fun. But most of the best stuff that I did never ever got shown or aired or anything.
Because it was too real.
But it was, yeah.
Okay, so what'd you know? Yet another question about rapport with co-hosts. Okay, don't cough, whoever that was.
Sorry, that was me.
Get a I have a mixer. Won't work with a USB mic, but I have a mixer. It was like $350 that, you know, would have cost $1,000 10 years ago. Like, this stuff has gotten so good and so cheap. I've got this Behringer Zenix mixer that's, I mean, you could like record, you know, a rock band with like 8 instruments on it, all on separate channel, 24 channels through this thing. But I don't use all of it, but I got the good one because it has more than I need. And, you know, if I ever have 5 guests in my bedroom doing a show, which I don't think I ever would, because I don't like people. I don't even socially network. I just say things to the world in one direction. But, you know, like I let me just cough here. Like, okay, there I coughed. So, you know, you didn't hear it at all. I just used the slider, which is easier to use than a knob, to like turn stuff down and turn it back up and just bring it back up to the same place. I do that a lot.
Yeah, good.
What else, Ben?
I ride the mute button constantly. Actually, any time that I'm not speaking and I'm on the radio like this, I mute my mic so that it doesn't pick up any sideline sound.
A slider is better than a mute, though, because a mute, okay, like any microphone is going to have some tiny bit of background noise, any, you know, system, preamp, all that stuff, compressor. You know, I've got it down to where it's got very little, but it's going to have a tiny bit. And if you mute, it's noticeable because all of a sudden it's like dead and then it comes back. Yeah. Whereas if you use the slider, it's a little more gradual going out and going back in.
You've also got the sound of the room, haven't you? The space.
Yeah,
itself.
Absolutely. And I have done some sound conditioning in my room. It's not like a windowless bunker, you know, total like recording studio, NPR style. But, you know, I went to Walmart and got some. What's Walmart in England? You have a store there, right? A chain? Tesco.
Actually,
Tesco?
Walmart owns a chain here that's called.
Is there something called Tesco or Tasco?
There is Tesco, but it's not that.
Okay. Well, I just went and got these like little, you know, fake Oriental rugs, fake Persian rugs that are machine made, but they look like Persian rugs that are like, they look like little prayer rugs that are about 3 feet by 4 feet, and they're about $30 each. And I got like 7 of them and hung them up on various parts, walls of my room. Like I didn't cover the room with carpet. I've done that before, and it ends up hot, and it like feels like a tomb, and it sounds like a tomb. And you got to make sure you get stuff that's fire resistant too. But yeah, and I haven't like covered my windows with boards or anything. I did that before. I made like a real studio before, but no, this is just a spare bedroom, and it's, you know, pretty homey and nice. But I put some of these rugs on all 4 of the walls in different places. I mean, it's not covering all the walls, but you don't need to. You just need to cover like the big spots in the middle of parallel walls, because parallel walls totally amplify noise. You also need to they amplify reverberation. You want kind of a dead sound, not too dead, but kind of dead. I also strongly recommend, the cheapest thing you can do to improve sound is to get little foam windscreens and put them over the mic. Amen. I mean, they're like 50 cents each, and they vastly improve. They get rid of the pop, pop, pop sound when you say P's and D's and T's and B's.
Oh, that's a good question. So you can use those instead of a pop filter?
Pop filter, you meaning like the 6-inch ring with the pantyhose over it?
That's exactly what I'm holding in my hands right now.
Yeah, man.
You could hear it, right?
I can't necessarily hear it, but no, those kind of like, there's like something between you and the mic. Whereas if you just have it over the end of the mic, it doesn't look as cool because you can't see the grill of the mic, but it sounds much better. And like, who's looking at it anyway? You know, I would have, that's the thing about every video I've ever seen shot at Porkfest where there's a speaker talking.
Yeah.
They have a lot of plosives, pops and P's and D's. And I'm going to bring like 6 or 8 of those little foam things to Porkfest and just walk around popping them onto microphones. I'm not even going to ask permission. Audio. I'm just going to do it. Safe audio, did you say?
Yeah. Safe audio.
Safe audio.
Wrap that microphone, people. All right. So what else you got there, brother man, over in the Englands?
In the Englands? So, thanks for putting up the idea of Monty Python. I don't know if I'm up to that standard, but it's a great Yes, my sense of humor is kind of like that.
You're going to be compared, if you're doing sketch humor with your accent, even if you try to not sound anything or be anything like Monty Python, people are going to compare you to Monty Python.
Okay. If you wanted to put out a request to people who might want to talk with me, come on the show with me, contribute creatively or on the show itself, that would be wonderful.
And there's no money to be made. There's no money. There's no money in podcasting. It's a labor of love.
I don't think so.
And it's llpt.co.uk. That's lima lima papa tango.co.uk. That's how you find Bernie. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. This is the final segment of Cluster Fark at 30,000 feet. Hey, Bernie from England, say worms.
Worms.
It didn't sound very English. Sounded brutal, but it didn't sound English.
Sorry.
Say it. Say worms. It your proper. Say it like you're introducing the Worms show on BBC.
I say worms.
Say worms, Governor. Do people say governor? Do people say governor there?
They used to. You rarely hear it these days. It's very much a London Cockney type thing. All right, there, governor.
Okay, so Jack Johnson from Appalachia, you had a comment or question about rapport. What is it?
Well, whenever you're dealing with a show co-host, how do you recognize using the best type of communication and developing the best type of rapport with somebody? Do you just let it happen naturally, or do you have like a method?
That wasn't your question, but I don't have it. I just talk to humans, man, and just rattle off with them. But, you know, I tend to dominate conversations I'm in. You know, we had one co-host who's a good friend of mine in person. I used to be a bike messenger with, who quit because he said, "I don't want to be Joe Satriani's bass player." And if you know Joe Satriani's music, he's one of those guitar players who's, you know, classically trained and metal guy that plays too many notes for the royal ear. And his bass player just is dum 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 compared to that. So, you know, I just take over the conversation and just throw to the other person when I need a breath, basically. That's the thing, too, is throwing to the other person. Is doing that kind of seamlessly, like, "What say you, Ben?" Or, "What do you think, Lou?" Or, you know, whatever. "Hey, Bernie, chime in on this." And there's even subtler ways to do that. I can't even name them right now, but if you listen to some Freedom Fiends, you can hear me doing it a lot. And there's a little problem with Skype that there's, or any voiceover internet protocol, that there's a little bit of delay, you know, quarter of a second or a half second back and forth. And if the person pauses and they're not quick on their feet, it tends to make them sound stupid, you know, because if they take a three quarters of a second to reply plus the half second back and forth of the delay, it makes them sound like, but I do say a lot and do filler words like right. that, which are bad radio. If I went to broadcasting school, they would have beat that out of me, but I do it anyway. And part of the reason I do it is to kind of fill until I can think of something. And on talk radio, they literally have, you know, in the GCN studio, they literally have an alarm that goes off, bells loud in the studio to the board op if there's 6 seconds of silence. So
wow.
I guess we're so important talking that alarms go off if we ever stop.
No dead air. That's,
no dead
that's
air.
What they want.
Yeah.
No dead air.
So, Jack, what was your real question, you damn Yankee?
I totally forgot. That was the reason why I threw in the additional question.
Well, that's
right
another
off the
thing
bat.
About having a good rapport and doing live radio is like keeping track of a million balls in the air, juggling, you know, cat herding, juggling cats. I mean, I had 4 hours sleep last night and like 40 technical problems on this show, and we still pulled off a good show with like five co-hosts, like only one of whom was originally planned. So you have to be able to think fast on your feet and get faster at it. But what is your question, you darn Yankee?
Well, the question I have is in regards to like when you're dealing with people that aren't from the same culture as you, how do you like maintain rapport with them? Like, there
what
was a friend of mine.
Say? Yeah, what'd your friend say?
He basically said, "I don't understand how you get along, him from New York and you from the South." And I was amazed that he said that. And that was one of the reasons why I was like, "Well, it's because we have good rapport."
Well, I left New York when I was 18. I'm not really from New York. Moreover, I'm not of New York. I'm not of any place. And, you know, if you want to say I can relate with Southern people, I lived in Virginia for 3 years. You know, Charlottesville, not going to college, which is not the deep South, but it's the South.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I do is I realize that people are the same no matter where they're from, no matter what nation, state, neighborhood or whatever. And you live in Asheville, North Carolina, and I heard Obama's moving there. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, then I'm not going to judge you and say, well, you're from Obama's town. See, it's like people are the same. You look for the human thread. Thanks for being on the Freedom Fiends, y'all. And say worms, everybody.
Worms.
All right, we'll be back in 10 hours tonight for the nighttime show. This is the day it switches swing shift on the Freedom Fiends.
Michael, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had.
Take care,
Worms!
Worms!